Of all the disciplines in the Christian life, I think one of the hardest for Christians to do on a regular basis is to pray. Now, I would imagine over the course of the last month, because of the situation with Pastor, we've probably prayed a little bit more than we would normally pray. But prayer is just a hard discipline for a lot of people to get, a lot of us to get. It's work. Seems easy, but it's not. It's uncomfortable. When you get down and start talking to a holy God and you know what you are on the inside, it's uncomfortable. You get down sometimes and you're distracted, and we're so easily distracted. But the amazing thing is God wants us to pray. You know, whenever it's stewardship time, we always say the last thing to come in the Christian life and the first thing to go is giving. But I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of people that give that don't pray. You say, so which one should I choose? Both. Okay, don't quit giving. I'll pray for you. That's okay. The offering plate's still coming your way, amen? But prayer. Now, having said that, it is one of the most important disciplines. Someone has said, prayer is the provision for every need and the solution for every problem. And that's probably why our needs are unmet and our problems are unsolved. So today we're going to read these verses in Luke chapter 11 and a little admonition about prayer tonight. Luke chapter 11, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass as he was praying, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto him, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for a wonderful, wonderful day we've had. And I believe the success of the day so far has been bathed in prayer. And I pray, Lord, as we just look at these admonitions tonight, to pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. Encourage us to spend more time seeking your face. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at several things. There's actually the disciples talk to Christ here. They ask him, teach us to pray. He gives them a model prayer. And then afterwards, he gives 2 examples that relate to prayer. Some things that he's trying to teach them. And I just want to look at the story tonight and give us some admonitions from prayer. First of all, as we look at these verses here, I want you to notice the petition from the disciples. In verse 1, and it said, and it came to pass that as he was praying at a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As our Lord saw, as they saw the example of our Lord praying, the disciples were pricked in their hearts to ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now he's teaching them about prayer, But really, the greatest thing we as Christians need to learn, we need to learn to pray. Just to absolutely do it. You say, well, how important is prayer? Well, here's how important it is. Jesus Christ prayed. Now, if you're Jesus Christ and you pray, I think we need to pray. We need to follow his example. They're asking him, teach us to pray. Most of our problems with prayer have nothing to do with time, place, or method. It's mostly about just doing it. It says in James that we have not because we ask not. We simply just don't do it. We do a lot of things. We'll go soul winning. We'll come faithful. We'll do four to flourish. We'll give to missions. And thank you for giving to missions. We'll give an offering plate. We'll do this. We'll do that. And yet, one of the things that's really a quiet thing, a thing that's away from all the crowd, a thing that's very important, a thing that's vital for us to do, is pray. Teach us to pray. Let me just say this. You don't have to be an expert to know how to pray. Just do it. Sometimes we pray in ignorance. I remember as a new Christian, I started going to church and I went on a Wednesday night. Well, Wednesday night at Gethsemane is when I was a new Christian, as they do here, they passed out a prayer bulletin. So I took it home and it was a lot of names on it. It was an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and there was a lot of stuff on there. And there was stuff I didn't know. I didn't know, you know, the unspoken need. I didn't know the mission. I didn't even know what a missionary was, but there was a whole list of them there. And there's all these things going on there. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pray. And I had great faith. And I remember I got down, I put that sheet there, and I said, Lord, this is a prayer request. These people have needs. I have no idea what they're talking about. But by faith, you take care of it. Amen. Now, don't give me your prayer list, because that's not going to work. Now, as I started going to prayer meeting, I actually realized you ought to pray individually over these things. I'm like, okay, that's how you do it. But at least I took a shot at it. We need to learn how to pray. And let me say this. Sometimes, and it's well-meaning, I remember as a college student, there was a little booklet by E.M. Bounds that I had called The Power of Prayer. How many of you ever read that? It's a dynamic book, and by the way, it's convicting. But after reading that book several times, I'm like, I don't even know why I try. You read the book, you know what I'm talking about. This guy is unbelievable. I'm like, I can't do this. Now, that wasn't the point of the book, okay? And sometimes we hear somebody, you know, boy, I was up and I prayed all night. You know, how many of you heard of D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody said, I prayed twice all night. Both times I woke up and my legs hurt. Okay? We hear all these extreme stories, and that's fine. We need to hear them. I remember reading about George Mueller as a new Christian, and this man had faith. He had an orphanage, and he had all these children. They had no food. And this was in the late 1800s or maybe early 1900s. And he's like, well, he put the children all at the breakfast table. Let's pray. There wasn't any food. And he prayed, and a few seconds later, I think it was a milk truck or something, broke down in front. And they knocked on his door and said, it's going to spoil. Can you take all this? He goes, bring it in. The kids are waiting. Now, I don't know about you. That's never happened to me. I hope one day it does. But we hear stories like that, and instead of being encouraged to pray, we get discouraged and say, well, that's not me. Can I just tell you something? You don't have to be an expert to pray. My children don't have to be experts to talk to their dad. Well, actually, it helps. You come in and say, Dad, you're looking good today. It's like, hey, let's go out. You guys want to go? Let's go. Okay? By the way, you can get whatever you want from a guy if you just are nice to him. It's like clubbing a baby seal. But anyhow, but look at, just pray. Just start. Say, well, what if I pray wrong? I'm sure God will zap you dead right on the spot. He's not going to. God wants us to spend time with him. Teach us to pray. It's kind of like when James talks about living the word. He tells us in James, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Take that which you hear and apply it to your life and actually do it. That's what we need to do with prayer. There's so much talk about prayer, but there's so little prayer actually done. So what's the admonition? Pray. Get started. So I'm not a perfect Christian. God didn't ask you to be perfect in order to pray. We'll talk to you. We'll figure that out in a minute. Why? By the way, we can't even, you can't even, it's not even a question when you look at the Bible. Does God want us to pray? The answer is a resounding yes. So many verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You know what that means? Don't stop ever. That doesn't mean we don't do other things, but prayer ought to always be on the forefront of our mind. By the way, you don't have to drop to your knees. Oh, you know, I got to, you know, walking down the street, I think about that. Wham, prostrate, sidewalk. No. You can talk to God at a moment's notice. Luke chapter 18, 1, a few chapters past the chapter we just read, said, and he spake a parable unto them. Unto this end, here's the reason he's going to give them this parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to stop. God wants us to pray. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When you think about praying all the time, I think about Nehemiah. If you read the book of Nehemiah, situations would come, and right in the middle of a sentence or something, he would stop real quick and just pray. The king came to him, and he was sad in his count. He was sad. He was a cupbearer, and he was sad in front of the king, and the king asked him a question, hey, what's going on here? And before he answered the king, he quickly shot a prayer out. Now, he didn't drop to his knees in front of the king and say, hang tight, you got to talk to God. He just said it. Why? Because he was praying always. We can talk to God all the time. And God wants us to talk to him. And Nehemiah did that. So what's the petition? Here's the petition. God wants us to pray. But we notice that Jesus gives them a pattern. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as is in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, we call this the Lord's Prayer, but let me say this. Do you know Jesus never had to pray this prayer? He never needed forgiveness. Okay? But what's he say? By the way, this isn't some rote prayer like the Catholics. You know, you sinned and you did wrong and you get in the telephone booth and it's like throw down 10 Hail Marys and everything's good. Okay? That's not what we're doing here. This is a pattern for prayer. The Bible condemns repetitious prayer. Just saying some prayer that you've, that, oh, look at this prayer on paper. Let me pray this. That's not from your heart. Okay, you know, when I go talk, if I'm talking to my wife and I want to say nice things, I don't pull out a piece of paper and read something. Okay, we talk heart to heart. She'd probably like me to read a poem, but I don't like poems. Roses are red, violets are blue. I am so handsome, I'm better than you. Okay, that's the only poem I know. This is a model prayer. I want you to notice something about the pattern he gives, and this is the good part. First of all, it's based on our relationship. How can we go to God in prayer? Because you know why? He's our Father. He's our Father. We're coming to him based on the fact that we have a relationship. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When we become a son, when we become God's son, we're in his family. That makes him our Father. And so we can go to him as a son to a father or a daughter to a father. That's the fact he's trying to get across. That enables us, because of this relationship we have, to come before his throne. It's not unusual for children to talk to their parents. Not unusual for one of my children to come talk to me. That's not going to irritate me. Well, God wants to hear from his children because you're his child and he loves you. There's nothing more important than talking to God our Father. Probably the most important appointment you'll have every day is that time you spend with God in prayer. I heard a story. Lyndon Johnson was the president of the United States in the 60s. And one day his press secretary was sitting there at lunchtime and his press secretary bowed his head and was saying grace for his food. And he was talking out loud. The president heard him and said, hey, I can't hear you. What are you saying? And he turned to him and said, I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't being that rude. He said, I'm talking to God and he's more important than the president will ever be. God's our Father. And because of that relationship, he wants us to come before him in prayer. He also has some requirements. Now listen, here's where we get in trouble with prayer. What is the purpose to prayer? It's not about getting what we want done on this earth. That's what we think. Maybe if I can twist God's arm, you know. By the way, as a earthly father, I can be suckered into things. My wife can get me to do, look, if I come home and house is really clean and the food is really good and, oh, you're so handsome today, it looks like you grew a couple more hairs, and it's like, you know, everything looks good. You know, it's like she says all those nice things. I'm just going to pull my wallet out and say, I don't know what you want, but go get it. Okay, it's yours. By the way, ladies, if you understood that, you could have whatever you want. Okay? But you know, we don't have to try to twist God's hand. By the way, sometimes we pray selfishly. We want what we want done. Really, prayer is to get God's will done. Because there's certain things here in this prayer we see. He uses the word thy. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. You see, God accomplishing things on this earth, it's about bringing honor and glory to his name. Not so we can get up and say, well, you know, I prayed. No, and by the way, we should share when God answers prayer. Amen? But if we share that God answers prayer, it's not because of anything that we do. It's so that he gets honor and glory. You know, too often we get this little thing and we want to take credit for things. You know, you ever see these Christian singers? Look at the cover of their CD. It's a big old picture of them, and they're all cool. And it's like, you know, Bill Johnson sings about God, really small at the bottom. You know, it's like, seriously? And don't even get me started with these family pictures, these pastors, and they're laying on the ground with these white, it's like, don't go there. Don't go. One time, we took family pictures for Christmas, and I hope, beyond hope, that those things are all lost. And my wife, they were all wearing white. She had me in this white, she had me in this white sweater. I saw that picture. I looked like a decrepit Mr. Rogers. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. What was I thinking? She must have pulled that. Wow, your hair looks thick today stuff, you know? I'm like, no, I'm not taking my shoes off. I'm not laying sideways like this. And the kids ain't doing that. Doing that. Come on. You know which one I'm talking about? Oh, man, I'm going to your house tonight and steal that thing. Okay? But that, you know, really, who's getting honor and glory? Or here we go. Steve Myers Ministries. Go to stevemyersministries.com. We'll teach you about God. No. And I know some people. I'm not getting, but I'm just, who gets the honor and glory? Everything that should be done, they shouldn't look and say, wow, what a great prayer warrior Kyle is. He's not even a good guy. They'll look and say, God answered his prayer. Wow, what a wonderful God we have. God will share a lot of things with us, but he will not share his glory with us. And as soon as we try to take it, he'll just grab that little, doop, pulls the rug right out from under us, and now we look like doofuses. Okay? But it's about his name. Why does God want to answer? Why does God want us to pray? Because it gives him all the glory. If not, it looks like, wow, look what we did. We had a wonderful day here today. Look at all the people for Friend Day. It's because God did that. You realize, because of everything that's been going on, we haven't had a lot of energy towards Friend Day. Now, I wouldn't say this publicly, but I will now. We didn't have a lot of contracts on the wall. We had a good amount of contracts, but usually we have more. But we had a great crowd here this year. You know why? I think God did that. I think God does a lot of things. Let's not steal his core. It's about his kingdom. Thy name, thy kingdom. Prayer isn't asking God for what we want to accomplish on this earth, to accomplish something on this earth so we get glorified. It's asking God to accomplish something so that he gets glorified. Because the fact of the matter is, we can do nothing without him. John 15. You know what God wants to accomplish in this church? A lot of stuff. You know why? So he gets the glory. So let's not take that. But his kingdom. And then also his will. Someone has said the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, it's to get God's will done on earth. By the way, you singles, here's what you do. You get down and pray. I need a husband or a wife. And you pick somebody out. Do you understand that person you picked out might be a clodhopper? Just might be. You may not know everything about them. And you're like, God, give me that person. I'm going to fast and pray. And God's like, are you serious? Sometimes God gives you what you want, and then you get it, and it's like, I had a guy come one time when I had the singles. He came to my house late one night, was telling me about the girl he's trying to get, and I'm like, you don't want her. So I'm not a brain surgeon, but no. No, I can help her in the Lord. I'm like, right. Yeah, we all help them in the Lord, brother. Yeah, they're not even in church anymore. It's like, I said, you're going to get what you want. You're not going to want what you get. I'm just telling you. You asked. And by the way, I didn't interrupt. He asked me. And he didn't listen. But just pray. You know what you ought to pray? Lord, what do you want? We talk about missions. Lord, what do you want? Lord, what do you want? We want your will done on this earth. And sometimes God changes things. You know, we have this direction. We think we're going and something happens. And like, hey, you know, the Monterey Park Church started. God just kind of dropped that in our lap. I read the books. When we were starting a church, read this stuff. We're going to get started and put together a list what we're going to have to do. And I'm reading these books. And it's like, now you want to start 1 to 2 years ahead of time. We had 3 months. That's from the time we signed the contract until the first day. Okay? 3 months. Why'd that happen? God just kind of opened the doors. We had this little plan, and God's like, hey, time is now. Like, all right, that's what you want. His will. Always be open to his will. And so when you're praying, yes, we pray for things. We ask God to do this, and we ask God to do that. But whatever God gives, we need to say, hey, your will be done. And then God talks about the requests we should have. Well, let me back up for a second. One way we'll know God's will is by knowing his word. So we pray for things and ask for things. He says, if my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If we're asking something that's very clearly God's will, you know what? God says, I'm going to do that. Why? Because he's already said he wants it done. It's not that hard. God's will. Now look at the request he talks about here. Several requests he tells us we ought to pray about. We ought to be praying for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us day by day our bread. You know, you say, well, I'll just go out and work for it. You may not have a job. God can knock that right out from under you. You ever read Deuteronomy? I'm the one that gives you the strength to earn your income. And as quick as God gives you that job, he could just say, you know what? You need to learn a lesson. Boom. You don't have a job. Doesn't mean if God takes your job away, okay, that you're bad. I'm just saying. We need to every day say, Lord, now I need you to provide for me today. I need you to meet my needs. There are some provisions. There are some things that I need, basic necessities, Lord, but you're going to have to take care of them. If you can give me the strength to work today, give me the, but ask God for those things which we need. God doesn't mind. You know the word prayer means ask. You read it in the Old Testament. They'll talk back and forth. Give me, I pray thee. What, he's praying to that person? No, he's asking them. Prayer is asking. God doesn't mind us asking for things. As long as we're not asking selfishly. But God says provision. God can take care of us. You say, boy, I'm having a hard time. What should I do? You know what you need to do? You need to do everything you're supposed to be doing, but then you need to ask God to take care of you. God can take care of you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And he says he's never seen his children begging bread. You know, God can take care of you. God can meet your needs. God is very, very faithful. You say, how do you know that? Because he's your father. He loves his children. He also says there's forgiveness involved. Forgiveness. It's pretty heavy duty here. He said, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. You say, well, I'm saved. I thought my sins were taken care of. They are, positionally. See, when we got saved, we were given the righteousness of Christ. So from an eternal perspective, when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ, and our eternal destiny is taken care of. That's a done deal. But you know, there's a practical righteousness, the righteousness we have on this earth, and none of us are perfect. So what do you do when you sin? Is that going to send me to hell? No, it's covered. But it affects your relationship with God on this earth. So what do you do? When you pray, you get to God and say, Lord, by the way, don't hide it. You'll get down on your knees if you pray at all and something comes to your mind and what you're going to do is like, well, I'm praying. Let me block that out of my mind right now. How many have been there? God's like, block nothing. Do you know he already knows what you're thinking? He's there already. He's just waiting for you. You know, Lord, I have to confess. I did this. Really? God knows. He's not surprised. He just wants you to acknowledge it. And so you ask for forgiveness so that you'll have that unrestricted relationship with him. Now, I know this never happens to you if you're married. Say you have a disagreement with your wife. I'm talking about people in other churches. Because I've talked to people from other churches, and that happens. And guys, we're okay. It's like, big deal. We're done. It's over. What's for dinner? Food. It's like, uh-oh. How was your day? Okay. It's like, can we get off of these one-word answers? Now, this has never happened to me. Kyle tells me all about it, though. And you know what we try to do? We know what the problem is. We're just gonna run through a wall. Amen. We're just gonna get through this thing. We'll be all right. You know. You might want to say, "Okay, honey, look, let's get this thing settled. Just ask me for forgiveness, and we'll be done." My wife's in patch tonight. I'm good. Or any relationship, your kid, you know, whatever. You name a relationship. There's something there. It's like, hey, it's deal with it. Get it over with and let's move on. Okay? And you're sitting there and God brings something to mind. Just, you know, Lord, Lord, this was, God says, that's what I wanted to hear. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get it dealt with and let's move on. And also, I hate to say this, it has to do with others. You know, if I have an issue with somebody else and that's unresolved, that's going to affect my prayer life. Okay? Now, if it's something you've tried to take care of and you've done the best you could and you can't deal with it, then you're fine. By the way, sometimes it's just something in our heart. Now, if I had something in my heart towards Kyle, but I've never told Kyle about it, I don't need to ask God forgiveness and talk to Kyle and say, you know, Kyle, let me just, you know, I was really mad at you because, you know, I just had something in my heart towards you. Now, he didn't know that. Now he's wondering, what was that all about? If it's just between me and God and I've not exhibited to him, then I just need to deal with it with God. Now, if it's something openly between us and that's affecting me, I need to deal with him about it. Okay? But forgiveness. There's forgiveness there for us. And then God tells us to ask for guidance. For guidance. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You ever seen the bumper sticker, lead me not into temptation? I can find it myself. And for a lot of people, that's just true. But we're trying to live our lives and we're trying to do right. We need to ask for God's protection from the evil influences and things of our society. I mean, it's everywhere. You can't turn around without it being right there and it's in your face. Lord, I need guidance. What do you want me to do today? Help me to stay right. Deliver me from evil. Help me to stay on the right path. Well, I can live the Christian life by myself. No, you can't. By the way, it's not hard to live the Christian life at all. It is not hard at all. It's impossible. You can't do it. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Never. That's why the Spirit of God lives inside of you. He lives the righteousness of Christ through you. Okay? And we need God's help with this thing. Guidance. Now, let me share a couple thoughts here. We'll be done. I want you to see there's persistence also. Look at this story. And which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? So the story here, a man goes at midnight and he asks his buddy, hey, I need 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine is in a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So someone came to their house late at night, and it was customary, and it was part of their society. We take care of them. And we provide for them if they're at our house. And he's like, I got nothing to feed them. Let me go ask my friend. So he goes to his friend's house at midnight. Now, the next verse, basically, which be what all of us would say. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. Look, if you knock on my door at midnight, it's not going to go well. Okay, I probably won't answer. If I do, we'll probably have a weapon in my hand. Look, if you need bread, go to 7-Eleven, okay? Don't come to my house. Now, they didn't have 7-Elevens. So he comes and says, hey, I need some bread. It's like, I know he's probably thinking, brother, did you look at the sundial? They didn't have watches back then, okay? So you know what time it is? It's late. My kids are, you're bothering me. I say unto you that though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. What does importunity means? To keep pressing it. Shame. He was shameless in knocking on the door. Hey, you still need that bread? Brother, I'm trying to get some sleep. Got it, but I need that bread. It's like, just shut the kid up. Go get the bread, open the door, throw it at him, and tell him to get out of here. I want to get some sleep. Just do it. That's the point. The point is, he's persistent. Not going away. Where you at? I need that bread. Got friends. I know it's late. You know, you can, it's time change Sunday. You can set your dial back an hour. Okay? I need that bread. Got to have it. And he says, not because he was his friend, but simply because he was persistent. He got up and gave him what he needed. And then he says this, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now this is a comparative story. God's not like the neighbor. God's never going to say to us, hey, I'm busy, leave me alone. Hey, what are you bothering me for? But he's saying if this unsaved, or this human being, just simply because of the guy's persistence, says, man, give him what he wants, God wants to see our persistence. Well, you know, I prayed about that one time. La-di-da. That's why you put it on a prayer list. Sometimes the timing's not right. Sometimes God wants to see just how badly you want it. And that it's not just saying, ask and you shall receive. God, give it to me. I'm waiting. See, the tense there is keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep at it. 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 How long did we pray for your parents before they got saved, Brother Beck? 3 years. Every Saturday night. Pray for my parents. Pray for my parents. By the way, they came on Friend Day, right? It's like, well, I prayed for them one time. I guess it's just not going to work out. No, persistence. Persistence. Say, when can I stop praying? And you get to heaven. And then you can talk to them face to face. Okay? Let's be persistent at this thing. It's not a fad. It's something we do. We keep at it. We keep at it. We keep at it. And what's the last thing I want you to see from the last story is the principle here. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? So your kid comes home and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Here, eat this rock. You know, in some cases, I'd want to do that. How many of you are with me on that one? It's like, you ain't getting nothing. Go to bed. I'm talking about dads when we're in a good mood, all right? If your son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No, we love our kids. We want to make sure they're fed. Or if he ask a fish. Now, if my kids ask for fish, they ain't getting it. We don't like seafood. There's no way. Quit corrupting my boys. No. Jack eats fish because of Pineda. We ain't doing that. I mean, brother Kanaro Keo, Cambodian guy, missionary. He lived at my house for a couple years. I came home one time, and I'm like, what's that smell? Like, oh, I cook fish. I'm like, time out, conversation, never again. You are not kicking fish at my house, never. And that was it. Like, we're done. You want to have a barbecue at the neighbor's house? You go ahead, buddy, but you're not cooking in my house. So can you mind if I substitute there? And if he asks of him a hamburger, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Actually, I would. Now, I heard fried rattlesnake is good. Okay, you ask for good food and it's like, no, you're getting this garbage. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Just doesn't sound good. Here's the principle. If ye then being evil, God doesn't hold any punches, does he? He just tells us what we are. You know, just lays it out there for you. By the way, who are evil. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He goes, if you give good things to your children simply because they ask and they need it, really? God wouldn't give you that which you need because he's your heavenly Father? See, God doesn't answer your prayer because you're a good person. God answers your prayer because you're his child and he loves you. Okay? So I was so righteous today. God, I was on and God answered. No. Yes, you ought to live right. Yes, it tells us in Isaiah that our sins keep God from hearing us sometimes. But even then, God's not answering because of who you are. He's answering because of who he is. And if God is our Father and loves that much, why don't we just spend some time praying for spending time in prayer with him? You have to spend an, you know, well, you know, man, you hear, I know, you know, I got up at 4 a.m. and I spend extra time with God. I get up at 4 a.m. and I roll over and go right back to bed. Now, I may pray, Lord, you know, and I can't go back to bed, Lord. I may pray for a couple things in the middle of the night. I'll do that. I'm getting out of bed and drop. That's fine. But you ought to pray. You ought to find a time and a place away from everybody and spend some time. If you want to do it at 4, go ahead. The point is, do it. God wants you to spend time in him. And this is one of the most neglected things in the church. And God wants us to pray. Why? Because he loves us. He's our Father. And he wants his name to be glorified, and he wants his will to be done. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together.